Thanks for listening to today's message. We hope that it will encourage you and help you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.
I want to pray as we begin a new series. Father, I want to thank you for all that's gone on already in our gathering, and now as we turn to your word, would you speak to our hearts? Would you right now at home put your hand over your heart? God, we open our hearts today to your word, to what you're calling us to believe, to do, and to become. And we commit ourselves to you again in a fresh way, in Jesus' name. And we all said, amen. I want to introduce you to a new four-week series. Today is the first week of it, and this series is called Prayer is Not Powerful. I hope that has your attention. And as we venture into this series, in fact, some of you already right now may be figuring out exactly what we mean by that. I told our family about this series. One of the kids was asking about what I'd be preaching on, and so I mentioned the name of this series, which offended and troubled them, and I was glad for that. And then one of them quickly decoded why I would call a series that, and I think some of you are arriving there already. We'll get there in this message already. Prayer is not powerful. This is part one. I want to turn your attention, you can turn there if you want to Psalm 34, verse 15. We're going to go into several different scriptures, but this one, it is our starting point. It says this, Psalm 34, verse 15, "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry." I want to draw your attention to two words in this passage, eyes and ears. Eyes and ears. Don't you love that the psalmist is describing a God who is personal and close and interested in your life and in your heart? God isn't some far-off, misty idea off beyond the clouds. No, God is near, and he has eyes, he has ears, he has a face. He's personal, and he can be known. And what is he doing? He's listening for what your heart wants to say to him. He's leaning in with anticipation. God is anticipating that you would have things you want to say to him, that you want to speak to him. And so his eyes are on you, and his ears are dialed in to the sound of your voice. In Psalm 5, verse 3, it talks about the kind of anticipation that you and I can display. "In the morning, O Lord," it says, "you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my requests before you and wait in expectation." Have you ever found yourself praying a prayer and then forgetting later in the day what you even had prayed for or about? The psalmist here is instructing you and I to pray with an anticipation that God will be doing something in response to prayer. The word expectation in the original Hebrew language of the Old Testament means to have an anticipation or a waiting posture or attitude. It actually is a word that often gets translated in the word to spy. You know, in the Old Testament, when there were spies sent to places where the children of Israel were about to go. So if you consider that, in the morning, I lay my requests, I bring my prayer, you will hear my voice, and God, then I will spy on you. Where are our eyes and ears to be? Spying on the Lord. When you pray, don't just sort of sign off with an amen and carry on into your day forgetting about what you've prayed about. Keep your heart and your eyes and your ears attentive to how God may be responding after you've prayed. Spy on him. Watch for his work around your life. The Bible has so much more to say about prayer, and I want to bring you into a really quick survey of several excellent passages and thoughts on prayer. 2 Chronicles 7:14, it's well known, and it often comes up at this point in the year when we want to begin our year together with a prayer focus. It says this, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. How many of you know that our land and our world is in need of healing? James 5:16 says that the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and it's effective. I think I'm with some people who are interested in praying effective prayers. Not that my will be done, but that his will would be done. Ephesians 6:18 says this, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Colossians 4:2 says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Devote yourself to prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray continually. Romans 12:12 says, be faithful in prayer. And Jesus says in Matthew 21, it is written, my house will be called a house of prayer. My house will be called a house of prayer. When God was speaking about this, when Jesus was uttering these words, he wasn't just speaking about the temple that he was physically in that moment. He was talking also about the temple that he was creating. You and I. You and I are now the temple of the Holy Spirit. What kind of house are you? Are you a place of prayer? We pray in this church building, but friends, during a pandemic, we cannot gather together to pray. That's fine. It's okay. Because you're a house of prayer. I'm a house of prayer. And we've been blessed with all kinds of technologies in this day and age where we can still connect to one another and be a people of prayer together. So what happens when God's people pray? Scripture says so much. Contemporary examples provide inspiration for what kind of things happen. But before I get to either of those things, let me acknowledge something plainly with you. When we pray, there is mystery. When we pray, sometimes there is pain. After we've prayed, sometimes we experience loss. After we've prayed, there are times that we feel a prayer has gone completely unanswered. So what do you and I do when we come to face with real mystery in our prayer experience? Do we allow mystery to redefine our theology? Do we take that new theology and then approach Scripture and say, well, I guess I can't trust God in the same way anymore. He must have meant this, or he must not have answered this prayer because he's trying to impose a judgment on me or punish someone else. And we impose perverted distortions of Scripture upon the Word itself because of a mysterious experience we've had connected to prayer. Are we to do that? Are we to, in the face of mystery, then allow distance to come between us and God? Some people prefer, after pain, loss, or disappointment, to keep a distance from God. Well, God, I don't know if I can trust you anymore. I thought you were going to answer the way I was hoping. It's scary or hard to feel close to God. Some of you know what that feels like. And if that's you, I respect your honesty and authenticity. God is not intimidated by your real feelings. Draw near to him still. So what do we do when we have mystery? Do we redefine theology? Do we allow distance? What about just stopping in prayer altogether? Some of us may notice that after a great loss or pain or disappointment, something we've prayed about, we pray less afterwards. Why is that? It's a bit of a, I don't know, a spiritual psychological response in a way where we're afraid of hoping and then feeling pain or loss again. Friends, I can't promise to you as your pastor today, I can't promise to you what will happen every single time that you pray. I can't promise that. But I can promise you this, that if we do not pray, many more things will not happen. If we do not pray, we will not know a closeness with God. If we do not pray, we will not find a way through that mystery. If we do not pray, we limit God's work through us. But when we do pray, we expand the potential of what God can do in and through our lives. We do not handcuff God by praying or not praying. However, God is very interested in collaborating with his people, something we'll speak to later on in this series. And so he chooses to partner with us. And he's interested in working with what you have in your heart and what you want to talk about with him. So friend, if you've ever experienced mystery and it's caused a distance or a redefinition inappropriately of theology, or it's caused you to stop praying, I want to invite you back. Come closer with me to God again. Friend, I've experienced this in my life, and I know that I need to keep coming closer to God. Embrace mystery, come near him, see his face, know his heart, and keep praying. Friends, if I stop praying because of an unanswered prayer or a hurt or a disappointment of some kind, I'm limiting God's work through my life. And friends, when I pray, when you pray, when God's people pray, here's something I do know. Things happen. When God's people pray, things happen. And you can see this throughout Scripture. When God's people pray, bitter water that was undrinkable becomes sweet and able to drink. When God's people pray, the sun and the moon can be stopped in the sky. When God's people pray, an entire nation that's decreed to be destroyed and die can be saved because of a three-day fast. When God's people pray, a barren womb can be opened. When God's people pray, rain can be stopped in the heavens. That's kind of a nice prayer for maybe us West Coast people to learn. I'm thinking these storms lately have been pretty impressive, but hey, if we could get some of it to back off a little bit, maybe that's me imposing my will and I should not do that. But the example from Scripture is powerful. When God's people pray, rain can be stopped. And when that same person, Elijah, prayed, later on, fire can come from heaven and consume a soaking wet altar and sacrifice. And when God's people pray and gather together, 120 in Acts chapter 2, fire from heaven can fall and consume the sacrifice, the people, the worship, their prayer, and empower them and send them on a spirit mission, bringing the love and transformation and truth of Jesus to the world that surrounded them. Friends, these things happened in Scripture, not because prayer is powerful, but because God is powerful. We don't pray because prayer is powerful. Friends, I want you to see in the Word of God, I want you to see from your own experiences and the stories of others around you that God is powerful. And when you have a revelation in your heart, when you behold the beauty, the wonder, the power of God, our response should be to draw near to Him and talk with Him. When we talk with Him, it's prayer. And when people like you and I talk with a powerful God, things happen. I would be remiss if I helped elevate the priority of prayer and got you excited about prayer at the expense of you having a greater trust in God. I'd rather you have a great trust in God and the byproduct of that be you talk with Him and great things occur. Friends, yes, prayer is powerful, but the point is to not draw your attention to prayer itself, but to draw your attention to a living, active, wonderful God who has eyes and ears and is leading into your life with love and adoration, wondering how He can partner with you to bring about His purposes in our world. God is powerful. Talk with Him. Things haven't changed since Bible times. When God's people pray, the lost are found. I remember a woman that my wife and I knew in a past ministry setting who had been faithfully praying for her husband. Excuse me, I'm getting some water. She had been praying for over 20 years. And her husband eventually came into an encounter with God. You can just talk amongst yourselves for a moment. Water's on its way. I'll be fine. There we go. Thank you. That was my sweetie who brought that up here, by the way. She's a real sweetie. We have so much to be thankful for our tech team here. Excuse me. Laura is so thrilled to be able in the future to lead worship more often here, to join me in leading and speaking and so on. Right now, our priority is to make sure our live stream and the team are all trained up. So she's behind the scenes constantly doing an awesome job and getting water. Thank you, Laura. I know you're all clapping at home. Okay, back to when God's people pray, the lost are found. Our friend had a husband who was not following the Lord. For 20 years, she prayed faithfully. And I remember the moment that the report came to us that he had surrendered his life to Jesus in a dramatic conversion. I wonder what it was like for her for 20 years. I wonder if after a couple years, if she found herself weary of praying or wondering if something was going to happen. I wonder if after 15 years, she wondered if she should stop praying. I wonder if after 20 years, I think it was actually just over 22 years, and finally he came to Christ. Excuse me. Some of you have a lost loved one. You've been praying faithfully for your street, your neighbors, your coworkers. Keep praying. When God's people pray, the lost are found. I wonder how many of you today watching at home know that you follow Christ today because somebody was praying for you. A family member was praying for you to follow Jesus as a young child. Maybe you didn't grow up in a Christian home and somebody at school, somebody you work with, a neighbor, was praying for you. I remember the privilege of being a guest speaker at one place, and the privilege for me was the experience I had following the service. A woman came rushing up to me, and I recognized her. I wasn't quite sure from where, and it was a friend that had worked with my wife about a dozen years earlier. And I said, "Denise, what are you doing in a church?" And she said, "I have the most precious neighbors, and they've been praying for me for years." And I remember we had been praying for Denise when Laura had been working with her at a clothing store. And nothing seemed to be occurring. And here we were a dozen years later, and through faithful prayer and love of a neighbor, Denise was now in a church and knew Jesus. It was marvelous. You're here as a follower of Jesus today because somebody was praying for you. We need to be praying for others. When God's people pray, bondages and addictions are broken and people are set free. I know a couple of guys that used to be big-time drug dealers in Surrey, and they had a very surprising experience with God. They came to know him, and then they came to a weekend retreat that we were part of that was just about getting our lives open and real before God and allowing his healing work to occur in our lives. And both of them were instantaneously delivered from addictions of all kinds that weekend. God can do these things because of prayer. He can do these things even without prayer, but he invites us to being a praying people. And when you and I pray, it expands the possibilities of what God can do in and through and around us. I remember another woman that Laura and I know. Her story wasn't as rapid as those two drug dealers from Surrey. In fact, she had a slow conversion to Christ, and even after deciding to follow Jesus, it took years of prayer and love and faithfulness for her to find the freedom that was bought for her by Jesus on the cross. But it came, because when God's people pray, broken people find help and healing, and addictions can be set free. When God's people pray, the hurting can find healing. I was reflecting recently on healings that I remember occurring in this building, among you, among our church family. God heals people in the Comox Valley. I remember a senior woman who had a hip healed right here. I remember a woman who had her neck healed. She would say it was accidental. I almost made up a new word there, accidental. I think it's when your teeth have an accident of some kind. It was a woman named Grandma J. Some of you remember her. Laura was praying for her and somebody else. Others would remember a gentleman, Mark Spiker. Laura was praying for Mark Spiker and Grandma J at one time. There was many people that wanted prayer for healing, so she had to do a two-for-one prayer. And she was praying for Mark, and she knew Mark had neck problems. And she started, she didn't use his name, but she just started praying for neck issues. Meanwhile, Grandma J started moving her neck around with her eyes closed because she heard what was going on. I saw Grandma J. She came into the office here the next day, and she said, "Pastor Mike, I just have to tell you, I'm so excited. My neck was healed when your wife prayed for me yesterday." And she told the story. She was so thrilled. She said, "Pastor Mike, your wife had a word of knowledge about my neck issue." And I started to think, oh, well, wow, Laura didn't tell me about this. And so I'm saying, you know, well, praise God, that's amazing. So I go home and I tell Laura, I said, "You had a word of knowledge for June about her neck?" She said, "No, I was praying for Mark's neck. I knew about that. It wasn't something spiritual. I just knew about his neck problem." I thought, oh, no, she misunderstood what was going on. That wasn't a word of knowledge. It was a word of obvious for Mark. But anyway, so the next time I saw June, I said, "I just need to let you know that it actually, Laura, it wasn't like a spiritual gift. There wasn't a word of knowledge, you know, in that instance." And she said, "Oh, really?" And I said, "Yeah, she actually was praying for Mark's neck. She knew it, but she had her hand on you and she didn't know what was going on in your body." She said, "Oh, that's totally fine. This is the second time that God's accidentally healed me. He already did that with my thumb once too." And she had this whole other story about a time that her thumb got healed when it wasn't supposed to. That happened in our church family. Why? Because when God's people pray, things happen. He's at work in and around and through you in our church family. When God's people pray, the hurting find healing. When God's people pray, the hopeless find hope. The helpless find help. When God's people pray, the forces of darkness suffer damage, and spiritual and physical atmospheres can be changed. In World War II, when London in 1940 was under attack during the Blitzkrieg, when bombings were occurring, the government at the time decided to ring the bell of Big Ben at 9 p.m. every evening and call those who were followers of Christ to pray and to pray for peace and protection. Some years after the wars, according to the Sydney Morning Herald in May 12, 1951, an article was written where a British intelligence officer interrogated a high-ranking Nazi official and heard this reply from the Nazi official. He said this, "During the war, you had a secret weapon for which no countermeasure could be found. We did not understand it. It was very powerful. It was associated with the striking of Big Ben each evening. I believe you called it the silent minute." Friends, when you and I pray, the forces of evil and darkness suffer damage. As you may know from history, well, in 1989, the Berlin Wall finally fell. It was symbolic. It was significant. I want you to rewind. I want to tell you about some of the other pieces of history connected with that story. Some of them maybe you've heard of or known. In 1982, under the Iron Curtain in Leipzig, East Germany, a gathering of people began to form on Monday evenings. Just a handful of people who committed, "We need to pray for peace." And so in the same church, on Monday evenings, a gathering of people would come together to pray for peace. By the spring of 1989, that small gathering, which stayed small for quite a time, grew into the thousands. On October 9th, 8,000 people were gathered in St. Nicholas Church to pray for peace. And outside, because the church was full, 70,000 people gathered to pray for peace. The next Monday, October 16, 120,000 people gathered to pray for peace. The next Monday, October 23rd, over 300,000 people gathered to pray for peace. And that was now at the end of October and then into the early parts of November. On the 9th, the Berlin Wall fell. Not because of violent acts, not because of angry protests, not because of sharing news, real or fake, on social media, not because of Facebook, not because of YouTube clips. It was because the people of God decided to faithfully pray for his purposes to occur on earth. What happens when God's people pray? The forces of evil are pushed back, and God's will is accomplished on earth as it is in heaven. Friends, when you and I pray, things really happen. We had a neighbor in Victoria named Nadine. One time, she was in our house. She was visiting during a small group time. She had eaten a meal with us. She was quite comfortable. She was not a follower of Jesus. And she shared with my wife about some of the things going on personally in her world. Her and her husband were separated at the time. She wasn't all that open towards returning to him. But she was open to my wife praying about it. And so they sat together and they brought this to God. Nadine was unfamiliar with so much about Christianity, but she was comfortable in that moment and allowed prayer to occur. And I remember Laura telling me the story afterwards, and it encouraged my heart so much. After they prayed, Laura asked Nadine, you know, how are you doing? And Nadine said, Laura, that was amazing. That was so wonderful. I wonder if you've prayed with somebody who doesn't know Jesus yet. One of the greatest things you can do is pray with people who don't know God yet, because there's such faith and trust that grows in their heart. Nadine said, when you were praying for love to grow in my heart for my husband, I felt it growing right then. Isn't that amazing? She had faith that, well, Laura's a spiritual person. She's connected to God. Oh my goodness, she's praying for love to grow in my heart. Wow, I'm actually feeling this occur right now. Wouldn't it be great for you and I to return to that kind of freshness in our faith walk with God, that when we pray, there's an expectation we're spying on God? I remember some of you have heard me tell this story years ago, me praying for a hairdresser I had who was he was Buddhist. And he said he had back problems. I offered to pray for him. So while he's cutting my hair, he starts testing side to side as I was praying. Side to side he was going as he's cutting my hair. He was testing to see if while I was praying something was happening. And I thought, man, when I pray with other Christians, even when I receive prayer, I'm usually not checking to see if something else is happening in that moment. But here, my Buddhist hairdresser was teaching me something, that when we pray, we should expect something's occurring. We should be spying on God in that moment to see, is something happening? If we're praying for love to grow, maybe it's happening right in that moment. If we're praying for a back to be transformed, maybe it's beginning to happen in that moment. If we're praying for transformation in the Comox Valley, if you're praying for your neighborhood, if you're praying for your neighbors, your coworkers, your classmates, friends who don't know Jesus yet, maybe something's happening. Begin to spy on the work of God in the life around you as you and I begin to turn up prayer as individuals and as a church family. Why do we do this? Not because I want you to be a praying people, but because I want you to be a people who adore a living God who's great, who's strong, who has ability, who cares about our world. And when you and I talk to him, things happen. Friends, I don't want you to overcomplicate prayer or shy away from prayer. I have it's a bit of a cheesy line for you. I'm going to put it up on the screen as well. Prayer can be as simple as 1, 2, 3. Thanks, talk, agree. My goodness, I'm struggling today. Thanks, talk, agree. See, it's supposed to rhyme. Let me say it one more time. Prayer can be as simple as 1, 2, 3. Thanks, talk, agree. I want you just to remember those three words. When you pray, include these three things: a time of thanks, a time of you just talking freely, whatever you need to get off your chest with God, and then come into agreement with what's in God's heart for the circumstance and the things that you're praying for. These three words are things that we're going to lean into in the coming weeks. Thanking God, talking with God, and coming into agreement with God. Church family, Comox Pentecostal Church, I'm calling you to a 21-day fast. Together, as a church family, that we would abstain from something so that we can give greater attention to God and to the priority of talking with him, to being in prayer for 21 days. It's a great way for us to begin this year. I'm calling it to start tomorrow. The slide that you see right now has a little mistake Tomorrow's date is actually January 11th. If you want to start today, you get 22 days of fasting and prayer. What you fast of or from is between you and God. I want you to think about what you could abstain from that will help summon your attention. It doesn't have to be severe. You're not punishing yourself. But it has to be something that you feel, something that you notice, that gets your attention on a daily basis. Something's different. And as your body, as your psyche is asking, what's different? What's going on here? You're reminding your body, you're reminding your whole self, prayer is the priority. I'm leaning into the heart of God this season. Some of us will fast from food or meals, or maybe from certain ingredients. Some of us, maybe after Christmas, we're thinking it's a good time to fast from sugar for 21 days. It'll do the body good. You'll get cranky for a little bit, so just warn your family and others around you, but you'll get through it. You will make it. Others, it's about fasting something you drink. Others, it's fasting something you do, something that's consuming time. It could be a great thing, but you're just going to pare back on it. Cut out a certain social media or watching the news so that you can give your attention not to distractions in our world, but to God himself for these 21 days. We're going to end these 21 days together with a prayer service by Zoom on Sunday, January 31st at 6:30 p.m. Here's what I want to ask you as we conclude today. I want to ask you for these 21 days starting tomorrow to join me. I want to ask you, do three things each day. Three things. I believe they're simple. We don't have to overcomplicate it and make it big and difficult. Just do these three things. Number one, pray with somebody else. Could be somebody in your household, your spouse, children, grandchildren. You can pray with them, but make it more than just like the prayer for the meal or praying for the kids before they go to school. Like pray with them. Pray about things, other things together. It's not just nighttime prayers. It's let's pray for some things. Secondly, I want you to pray for spiritual refreshing in your life. Wouldn't it be great through these 21 days if our passion for God grew? Some of you have had a great experience with God in your rearview mirror, and you wonder as you look through the windshield, will I ever experience something like that again? I don't know the answer to that, but I do know this. Prayer is what gets us into a greater connection with God. As you devote 21 days to Word, to the Bible, to prayer, we're bringing ourselves into a greater experience of God. Pray for spiritual refreshing in your life, spiritual renewal in our church and in our community. Third and lastly, pray for the Comox Valley. Pray for your street by name every day. Pray for our community, for needs that you know of in our community. Pray for a move of God in the Comox Valley, that something fresh would occur this year and be sustained into our future. When you pray with others this week, you will have some people in your home, likely, that you can pray with. Some of you, it's a matter of calling somebody up or texting somebody and say, hey, can we just have a quick minute to pray together? Maybe you can go for a safe prayer walk somewhere with a friend this week. Find a way to pray with somebody else. Friends, we cannot host prayer meetings like we usually do. And in place of them, what we need to do is just be connected on Zoom, on calls, on FaceTime. They don't have to be lengthy. You can have a short 4-minute great prayer time every day with somebody else. I want to invite you to do these things with me. As we conclude today, I don't want us to wrap up with a song. I want us to wrap up with you listening to the Holy Spirit. We're going to just take 60 seconds for us to listen together. Would you posture yourself? Maybe doing something with your body helps you to, helps reflect something going on the inside. You could hold out your hands and just say, God, I'm receiving from you right now. Holy Spirit, would you speak to our hearts right now? What is it that you want us to fast from for these 21 days? It can be simple. It could be significant. Make sure it's something that you and the Holy Spirit come to together. Just listen for what He may be calling you to fast from. What I want to ask you to do is either on your phone, open a note, or grab a piece of paper and just jot down a few ideas, jot down a few things that are coming to your mind. And between today and tomorrow morning, would you make a decision? Friends, I'm not inviting this to be a burden on you, something that we have to sort of mope around in a time of fasting and prayer. When you think about it, our hearts should be celebrating. In fact, I know our spirits are overjoyed at the thought of greater connection with God to begin this year. So make a sacrifice of some kind so that you can give greater time to God as we begin this month, this year together. I'm going to pray for you now. Father, I'm grateful for all that you're doing in each of the lives of people watching today, our church family. Draw our hearts deeper into your hearts. I'm praying over these next 21 days that we would behold you in greater ways, that as we pray, great things would occur, not because prayer is powerful, but because you are. We commit ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Amen. And everybody at home, you want to say amen too? Punch somebody and say amen or God bless you or something like that. We're going to get something rolling on the screen for you here for the next few moments. You can begin signing off if you're chatting. You can wish everybody well. And then everybody jump over onto Facebook just for 15 minutes. It's going to start in about 5 minutes or so. Laura and Katie will jump on for a brief 15-minute Live with Laura episode where you can get to know Katie LaFace. Her middle name starts with an M. Her car's name, I don't even know what it starts with, but you'll find out soon. God bless you. Have a great day.
Thanks again for listening to today's message. We hope that it encouraged you as you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.